Serving in our military is the greatest and most important service that we ask of our citizens. But it's not the only service we can do. The Ram Truck brand believes the best way to thank soldiers and veterans for their service is by stepping up ourselves. Volunteering at veteran centers, helping our elderly, providing for the homeless. There is so much that can be done. Built to Serve isn't just something we say. It's something we believe Ram Truck owners try to live up to every day. To prove it, we're encouraging truck owners from all brands to join Ram Nation and volunteer themselves in their communities. Our goal is to reach a total of 1.3 million volunteer hours by Veterans Day next year. That's 1 hour for each person serving in our armed services. Join us today to see how you can help at ramtrucks.com/ramnation. Let's say thanks to our servicemen and women in the best possible way by being the best and most United States that we can be. Ram Trucks, built to serve.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all throughout upstate and also out to Phoenix, Arizona, and now through our links to Boston, Massachusetts as well. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee to you. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's very competitive real estate inventory world, you'll need to be as strong as possible when you go in with your offer, when you find the house you want. Oftentimes, you'll be competing against offers with cash, and a mortgage contingency is often going to be a problem versus cash. With a pre-purchase commitment, effectively, your offer is equivalent to cash, and you'll want to make sure that you have one of those in your hands when you find the house you want, available only through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700, and they'll also provide you with personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off, and check out that low-rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first-ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, in any market we serve. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800 in this marketplace. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about. We have a local number everywhere else. But enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. The hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property. It's all automatic, all that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. And I happen to believe this is one of the main reasons why this technology is one of the main reasons why we've been able to continue to grow in this marketplace and provide the best service to our clients and also to buyers. We have a very active real estate market, as I indicated earlier, in terms of our inventory, and it may be an opportunity that may not have existed really a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, and that is to really maximize the equity in your home. Let's say you're thinking about selling your home, but you just don't know exactly where you're going to go. Today, there's more options for you than you may think, and I think it's probably the best time, even though it's holiday season, to explore really what you've got in your home. You may be surprised. I believe you will be. And it will be a surprise that will go beyond what you'll find on Zillow. Zillow is an algorithm that looks historically back, and maybe it's accurate. They claim that it's accurate only a percentage of the time, and it's not that high a percentage. So what you really need is a professional to interpret the data that's out there that's available free of charge with Hunt Real Estate. And all you have to do is contact one of our real estate professionals and ask them about our seller security plan, because they're the only ones that can look in the eye and say this: we will sell your home, or ERA will buy it, and you want to make sure that you've got the most equity coming out of that home to do whatever it is you may want to do. 633-9400 to learn more. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider. Our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and Rochester Americans, and today is a big day in Buffalo sports history. Sabres hopefully will win this afternoon at 1, and then the Bills, of course, go up against our nemesis, the New England Patriots, at 4:30. Please root those Bills on to victory. They need all the mojo we can give them. this will be the first time we've beaten them, and I know we're going to beat them, the first time we've beaten them in New England since Brady became quarterback. That's a long time. He's, what, 49 or something now, isn't he? He's ancient. Well, hopefully we're going to roll right. But the guy's in good shape, and he's still, you know, the guy. But we're going to roll right over him today under Josh Allen's guidance and, of course, our coaching staff, which is phenomenal. And that defense. What about that defense? It's unbelievable. Anyway, we are live here at WBEN 930. And for those of you who would like to participate in today's show, if you have any questions or comments about any aspect of real estate or anything else we may be talking about today, call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or star 930. Those are all free calls. So join us here on the air at our house, or if you'd like to text us, 30930 is the text number, and we'll be happy to respond in any way we can. We have a very special show for you today. We're going to be exploring a part of the industry that, you know, is probably perhaps the least exciting aspect of our second least exciting.
Oh, thank you.
The least exciting would be title insurance, of course. So believe me, it took me a long time to even figure out what title insurance was. But we're not going to go into that today. We're going to talk about something that is important or should be important to you, and that's insuring your home and all your other property and yourself, for that matter. And to help me with that discussion today is the Chief Operating Officer of Hunt Insurance, James Frog. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Peter. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. You know, Jimmy, I watch with great interest, and this is a relatively recent phenomenon on television. You know, you look back maybe 10 years, there's hardly an ad for an insurance company. If it was, it was like you're in good hands with Allstate, it's a boring ad. Now they seem to want to be to out-comic one another. You know, one has a lizard, another one's got a bird. That's a very dangerous bird, that emu, by the way.
There's insurance for those type of animal attacks.
You should definitely avoid those things. Those things can kill a man with one swipe of those. I don't know how they got to be nuts to do. But tell me what's behind this. Are they trying to make insurance look fun or something or what?
So what's interesting is I think you're going to your point, and I'll agree. Being in the business of general insurance and all lines, it's sometimes as exciting as if I were to take you into the bathroom and show you the medicine cabinet and then explain for 4 hours what everything in that medicine cabinet does. But there's some interesting things. I think. Because of that, you're starting to see a lot of these, the Geicos of the world, are they really an insurance company or are they kind of a marketing firm? Having done my master's of business degree at Simon School at the University of Rochester, it's actually interesting. It's one of the things probably halfway through the year they start talking about in some of your marketing classes is how some of these things, they relate to the public, they either hit or they miss. But the comic relief of it, it's just kind of a marketing tactic. And I think you're seeing that now. You know, some of them are great. Others are they memorable?
Well, you know some they all claim, first of all, they all claim to save you money. And that's number one. And then they claim to be, I guess, customizable. But or they insure the oddball event, like with Farmers Insurance, that kind of thing. And they're interesting and humorous, but how much difference really is there between and among, or what are the differences between and among the actual insurance companies, and why would someone choose one over another?
Right. So it's a great question, and it kind of, I think to think of it, the point of insurance first and foremost is the transfer of risk. Sometimes it's not the best thing, and it might be boring because it's a bet against yourself, right? You're betting against. You're paying all this money into the possible event of something bad happening to you, your family, or your possessions, assets. But first and foremost, you got to view insurance as transfer risk. Now, going into where we're different and some of the companies you're talking about are considered captive agents. So everyone works in the client's best interest. But when you're working with a Geico, Allstate, State Farm, all these groups that you see there, Liberty Mutual on the personal line side, they're only able to sell you that one product. And there's some things that are similar across these carriers. When you work with a full independent agency like ourselves at Hunt Insurance, it's important to see that designation of full independent insurance agency because we have a plethora of insurance carriers. Us, for example, we have 20 from New York Central Mutual, Travelers, Chubb, you name them, where we can actually go out and you can see all the different products that are available through these carriers. And to your question, there are certain carriers that are better for certain types of insurance. For example, If you own a farm, you're probably not going to go to New York Central Mutual, but there's a program through a company we use, you know, Genesee Patrons, which covers specific risks to farm activity. So I guess the long end of that is sometimes the coverage you think you're getting, you might not, particularly if you're dealing with a captive agent, because they're not able to go outside of their own products for that coverage. And that's the importance of dealing, I think, with a full independent agency.
So really, it's like everything else in a service business. First of all, you need to understand the customer and their needs,
right,
and then align the customer with the product. And it may be from a company that may not be something you're going to see on television.
Yep.
And so if I'm a consumer and I'm watching this stuff on television, how do I laugh and then I say, gee, I should call these guys? I mean,
it depends. And then, you know, I think they all have their different marketing tactics or demographics that they go after. I think what you said earlier, they're always trying to save you money, which everyone mm-hmm. loves. With insurance, the most important thing, I think, is the value of the policy and what you're covering and your holistic financial picture versus price. Because insurance, even though I would venture to say it is 50% a commodity, the other 50% isn't. It's your lifestyle, what you own, what I own is vastly different. The people that live in our homes, you are an empty nester now, I assume.
It depends on who happens to fly into the nest
that
day.
And then, you know, we have two little children. So there's actually different things that change those policies. So you have to view it as an individualistic type of policy first, and then price comes second. For example, like a great example, you know, me versus a professional sports athlete. You're talking about Go Bills, by the way, this afternoon at 4. You know, a Josh Allen, let's say, would have a totally different set of coverages just because of his profession versus mine, what he's doing. And in regard to that, a good business manager or whoever's doing that, Josh himself, would probably venture and look for certain lines of insurance given his profession, you know, VIP status, coverages or for liability, slander, and all that, that you would not be able to get with a product of the captive agent. So it goes that far into detail. And I'd say that's probably the most interesting thing about insurance in general is not necessarily what you see on TV, but all the little things that you can add to these policies to protect you that you have no idea. Bring it back down to earth. There's a lot of commonality, though, of what everyone should have on their policy, regardless if you're Josh Allen or you're Jimmy Farah or Peter Hunt. There's a lot of stuff that should be universal.
You know, it used to be very interesting to talk about how a quarterback might insure his arm, for example,
yeah,
through someone like Lloyd's of London.
Yep.
Because they seem to be the world's premier, or used to be anyway, the world's premier insurance company for the oddball specialty item. Are those things still around? Are those kind of?
Yeah, believe it or not. I mean, Lloyd's of London, I forget the exact year. I mean, that goes back hundreds of years, right? When they're insuring ships that were crossing the Atlantic and all that.
During the wars.
Yeah, during the wars, the British Empire, all that, that's when it mm-hmm. started. And it's funny you say that. I mean, only the past 12 months, there are certain homes, let's say, that we've insured up in the Adirondacks where that's the only place that you can go, essentially, for a specific property that has a lot of lake frontage.
Mm-hmm.
An issue that's, you know, unfortunately very common for all of our friends that are on the Ontario Lake and even what we've seen on Lake Erie, you know, the past few months and summers.
Erosion,
yep. Mm-hmm. So, there's specifics like that. I don't want to say captives because they're changing all the time, but the commercials that you were talking about, usually those markets are not available to those people and that they're thrown to an excess market, which we have access to.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of the carriers I mentioned does not cover it, we have the ability to go through brokers or wholesalers and get specific coverages, you know, everything from the professional liability to, you know, certain, you know, access to Lloyd's of London and all.
We notice, anyone in business notices that there seems to be insurance people everywhere. And you know, it's like real estate agents. They seem to be everywhere. That's why we call our people professionals, because I think there is a difference between just
definitely
calling yourself an agent. I think that's a little bit of a demeaning term, as a matter of fact. But let's say there are people around that sell this product everywhere. What distinguishes one from another?
Well, I mean, just like having a little bit of knowledge in the real estate world about certain designations and all that, the same goes for insurance. So, again, going back to the full service independent agency, I mean, that's the first thing you want to look for. There's a CPCU licensing designations, which you'll see on people's names. I will be working on mine next. But mainly it's the umbrella of it all is working with a full service independent agency, if that works for you. There's nothing to lose. The one thing that you'll notice the difference is that you'll probably see a wide array of quotes and different coverages that are offered. Something that we're seeing a lot too of endorsements, so additions, optional endorsements that you can put on your policy. On the real estate side, like for homes, let's say, since we're talking about real estate, a lot of these companies are covering service line issues, which I'm sure anyone who has an older home in the city here in Buffalo, Rochester, that can get very deep into your pockets. They're starting to cover that. They're starting to cover equipment breakdown. Now you're starting to see coverages all the way to pool equipment, which is something insurance carriers didn't do, which you're venturing over into the home warranty side. Those are things that you're starting to see a lot of insurance carriers, particularly those that work with the full service independent agency models, be able to offer to clients for literally, I mean, pennies of on the dollar of additional coverage.
Well, let me ask you about rules of thumb. People buy a house today, mm-hmm. or they're looking to maybe evaluate their insurance policy, their current cost, I should say, against what might be out there. And I know this troubles our real estate professionals, people working with buyers and sellers, because a buyer might say, first-time buyer, how much is it going to cost me to insure this place?
Right.
And oftentimes, people in the industry will throw out a number based upon something they heard at some training program mm-hmm. about some rule of thumb. Is there a rule of thumb? Is there a basic rule of thumb that people should go by? Or if they're looking at a house for, say, $150,000, what should they expect?
Right. So the first one that comes to mind is, again, everything is customized to that property. Not one property is similar. There are some in regards. I think there's a lot of misnomers also. You know, people pay renter's insurance for so long, which is very cheap compared to when you have a primary house because you're only covering the contents in it, not the full structure, other structures, liability, all of that. So they get used to that price being, oh, I didn't realize this is going to be potentially 4X. The most important thing, which I think gets confused a lot, is someone buys a house for $150,000 and they get the insurance quote and it shows that coverage A, which is your dwelling coverage, is covered at full replacement cost of $275,000. First question for a first-time home buyer is always, well, I bought the house for $150,000. You know, why is this $275,000? And that goes between what insurance companies are basing the insurance on versus what the general public thinks it is. And that's market value versus replacement cost. Insurance companies are always insuring to replacement cost, or they'll do actual cash value, which I won't get into, but everything we do, all the paper we write is replacement cost. And what that does is that the market cost is what you bought the house for. Replacement cost, what you're insuring to the full value of, is God forbid that structure burns completely to the ground. It's accounting for if you were to rebuild that exact house with the same like and kindness of materials and what those would cost into the future. So that's why you'll see everyone says, oh, well, why is my insurance increasing each year? A, it's to keep up with inflation, but it's also to keep up in how inflation affects the cost of building if that were to happen.
Okay. So this is often a question because particularly in a city like Buffalo or mm-hmm. any of our upstate cities where you've got older houses. So even if you could buy the house at $60,000, It would cost many multiples of that to rebuild that same structure.
Exactly.
Not necessarily that you'd rebuild it exactly the same way. You'd put modern materials in there. So they must account for that as well, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And that's why each year when what we do in our agency is that every one of our clients will do a review 90 days before the policy renews. Because a lot of times it's in escrow, so it's just part of your mortgage payments to do evaluation of, hey, is there any other coverages we should add based on this building or some stuff that we can take off and adjust? And where the customer sees that, particularly just on the home side, is essentially changes your mortgage payments too. It can increase it, but it can also decrease it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're actively doing all the time is reviewing those.
So anytime I do anything to my house, any kind of capital improvement, mm-hmm. I should notify my insurance agent, right?
Oh, definitely. And that's where you'll see at the bottom, I stress to everyone,
Do people do that though? I mean, because
I think people, it's hit or miss, right? I think some people think, hey, if I do this, this has increased the value. I'm going to get whacked with paying more in insurance.
So I won't call. I won't do I want?
But I think the inverse is true though. And that's where I stress whether you're with a State Farm, you're with one of the companies I mentioned that we work with, or whoever your insurance carrier is, usually at the bottom of your declaration page, it shows all your discounts. So if you redo your roof, there's a pretty steep discount for that because now what the insurance company is saying is they just redid the roof. It's done right. It's done by a licensed contractor, all of that. The possibility of there being a leak or damage to the house is less likely. And that's all based on statistical, statistic modeling and all that. So you actually get a credit redoing your plumbing. Even just the trap service lines, if you don't have that coverage. So anything you do that is a capital improvement, one actually big one that we see up here is circuit breakers. You know, we're in an older community. A lot of people are moving into older homes. You want to make sure that you've got, circuit breakers. There's a credit there.
Wouldn't it make some sense then for any insurance agency to educate their customers on the right things to invest in and the wrong things to invest in, so that they might realize some benefit? I mean, if I'm the Geico lizard, let's say, and I'm going to promise you 15%, I mean, I'm going to do that over the phone without looking at a house to say, well, we could reduce your and do you do this? I guess is my question.
Yeah.
Do you counsel with the clients to say, look, these are the things that you should do as a priority to when we talk next year to keep your costs down or to reduce your costs?
Yeah, definitely. So I think with a lot of these, the companies, again, you're referring to that are saying save 15% or more, where that's really coming into is they're getting that. And all carriers do this. They do it up to 40% if you bundle everything. So that's you rate your home with them. And these are discounts that we achieve as a full independent agency too. If you couple it with your auto and then you put in an umbrella, which we can talk about later, which is probably the best investment as far as insurance products if you own a home and multiple autos or just in general. But that's where they're getting that discount. Where I see us coming in, and this is where it got me interested in this whole industry, is regardless, all these insurance products, as boring, as exciting as they are, it is a financial instrument against your holistic financial picture. So anything that I see us more as advisors of saying, hey, let's see your holistic financial picture of the assets you own. And here's what our recommendations are, according to that.
We're going to talk more about this because you've mentioned a couple things along the way that I think our listeners may see on television here or there, like a home warranty, for example. We're going to bring all that stuff together and see if we can't help save our listeners some money. And we'll be right back with more from our upstairs after these important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And I say all-new every week because we're constantly improving that experience for you online, and there's many choices that you have to find out about real estate online. The most popular ones we also participate in by sharing our inventory, but the fact of the matter is, hopefully your online experience with real estate will be more robust and continue to be more robust as time goes on. That's why we continue to evaluate our website and continuously improve it, which is one of the things that we want to do in addition to bringing you all available properties that are here in Western New York, also all across upstate. Everything that's available is there for you at our house at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our exclusive program that allows you to roll the cost of the improvements into a home before you close. In other words, you will know what you're going to be in for when you buy that house well in advance of actually closing and then being able to finance those improvements. It's a real opportunity for you to know what you're in for when you buy a home like we have so many of here in Western New York, which may be 50, 75, 100 years old. And oftentimes it looks beautiful, but you don't know what's behind that beautiful woodwork or behind those walls, and you want to know. This is an opportunity for you to finance all of that so that you're known. The number that you're going to be in for is known. And believe me, the movie The Money Pit was one of the great movies of all time. So, you know, when I don't know about you, Jimmy, but when I'm watching a movie, when you know it's programmed humor, sometimes you're supposed to laugh, but I don't know. It just doesn't. If I'm supposed to laugh, I guess I'll laugh. But that surprised me. I thought it was a tremendous movie. And it was an exaggeration. But to some extent, a lot of those things that went wrong in that house could go wrong for anybody. We've got a way to fix that through the Buy the Before and Live the After program.
I feel like I've been Tom Hanks in two moments in life just like that. So it's, yeah, hits home.
I know that. I fell through the floor one time, so I know what that's. And the number is 633-3700 to learn more about how you can protect against that. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment when you call, and even our warm home loan. And I want to congratulate everybody at Hunt Real Estate Corporation for being named one of the top what do they call that?
I just read it this morning, too.
Anyway, we were best in class, I guess, in the real estate.
Number one. That's all that matters.
So it was a nice thing. So nice honor for everybody at the Real Estate Corporation. My congratulations to everybody. I'm in the studio today with James Farrah, the COO of Hunt Insurance. We've been talking about what insurance is all about and why it's important, how it works. We're going to evaluate a little bit more through Jimmy's eyes in just a moment. But if you'd like to ask any question about anything we're talking about here, 803-0930, or you can text us at 30930. And if you want to call in after the show and learn about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 633-9400. And remember, this weekend, like all weekends, this is the last weekend probably for a couple weeks when there's going to be a lot of open houses. You'll want to stop in and ask one of our professionals about the seller security plan. And very simply, we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. It's available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. So I mentioned I'm here in the studio with James Farrah, the Chief Operating Officer of Hunt Insurance. We've been talking about this very, very exciting topic of insurance. Here right before the Christmas holiday.
I'm not going to take offense any longer.
No, we're trying to make it exciting, which is a real challenge.
Hopefully I'm doing that.
No, we're doing it. But before the break, you were talking about replacement versus market value, and we've talked about that on the show with some of our real estate professionals in the past. It's a very confusing topic, and I'm not going to get into depth on it, but when you buy a house, and you mentioned this earlier, when you buy a house, you commit to X number of dollars. And that's based upon your knowledge of the marketplace, the advice of your real estate professional, and any other information you can gather about that house on that particular street that you want to buy. But that may have nothing to do with insurance. And oftentimes, as we mentioned earlier, there's a significant gap. So it's almost impossible then to estimate really what that insurance is going to be until after somebody goes under contract. But how do people then go into something with that much of an unknown?
Right. So, I mean, it doesn't even take till contract. Even if you're looking at homes, you could run a quote on a property. And this is the most interesting part about insurance, and what we have access to is there's a lot of data on a lot of individual houses out there that we have access to through our carriers. And that's where you start, you know, you're getting out of the realm of comps and all that into the gory details of, you know, what's happened at that particular location. So that's through a Clue report, which everything gets run by through goes through a system that attorneys use, LexisNexis, mm-hmm. which is pretty much a database of all of this. So, you know, has there been a water backup there that has caused extensive damage and there was an insurance payout to it? So a lot of that stuff you can find through working with your insurance agent. The second part to that, which I think is very important, what you're saying specific to your area, is work with someone who is local that works in that market, that insures a lot of properties, cars, or whatever in that market, because they are used to all the nuances of that particular market. When you're calling one of these 1-800 numbers, you're probably getting someone in Phoenix, Arizona that is just running some data points and all that about Buffalo who's never been here. Mm-hmm. Let's say, you know, we're down the street down in Depew. We have a person in each one of our branches. Forget, Hunt keeps growing like crazy. I have no idea. We're up to maybe 50-something branches just in Western New York.
52 total.
52. I was close.
Not, okay. Not just here in Western New York, though.
Right.
That would be saturation.
So the point being is that each community, there's different types of home builds and all that. When you're working with a local insurance agent, particularly, again, stressing the full-service independent insurance agent, they know a lot of the homes that are in the area, stuff, issues that they see with other homes we insure, and all that. So
we have a couple callers.
Okay.
So let's take a call. This is Gustav in Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Thank you. could you talk about, other things equal, the premium change if a house is in a – there's various forms of floodplains.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting topic because the national government has just recertified flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little bit, because I think this is a big it's a very confusing topic.
Yeah.
Because just elaborate a little bit on this.
Yeah, so flood is particularly in the markets that, you know, we're in, and it's something that I think real estate professionals are dealing with in active transactions, is even an inch of your property is in a flood zone. Your insurance premiums go through the roof. We're talking about regular insurance probably costing on average up here in, I'll use Buffalo Niagara, $850 a year. If you're considered in a flood zone, I think on average we're seeing it's about almost $1,900 additional dollars just to protect from flood. And that's based on 100 to 500 year flood plain
maps. Now, does that go into the federal government and the national government? Is there a flood insurance pool, so to speak, that's created? And otherwise, why would they have legislation?
Right, there is. And you're probably seeing a lot about in the news, particularly what happened in North Carolina, which I believe was one of the hurricanes that mm-hmm. came up there and just kind of sat and dumped on the western side of North Carolina. And these places that never needed flood insurance, there was no reason for it, got absolutely decimated, and no one was helping them out. Insurance carriers were denying it. So it's changing a lot. I will say there's the federal program, and then there's other companies that, for example, like our group can write through. One in particular, Wright Flood, which we do through New York Central Mutual. We can write through private insurance groups. But a lot of people, I think, when you're working with someone, they're going through the national program, which is always changing now, just because you're starting to see a lot of different weather patterns and just stuff happening. I think North Carolina, I think it was 2 years ago, is probably one of the perfect examples. Areas that are getting flooded and people wouldn't have coverage. Why would they have coverage?
Florida, for example.
No, that's
where a lot of people from Western New York go to vacation, have a second home, make it their primary residence. I've heard, and this is just from one person to another, people say to me that their flood insurance or their insurance on their home in Florida is more than their taxes.
I believe it, yeah.
Because of the location.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of Florida is either at sea level or may even be below sea level. And, you know, that means that if the tides come up because of a storm or whatever, can wash right over them.
Definitely. And even the frequency of storms, I think what you're, again, looking at the news and the course of the past 5 years, there's stronger storms coming through areas like Florida. My parents live down in Charleston, South Carolina now, used to live up here in the Northeast.
And they've had two big storms.
Two big storms. And you're starting to see that now. There's the frequency of it. The only way that the insurance carriers, and the reason for that cost disparity, is if they keep getting hit and they have to pay out, those carriers probably go underwater. So they've got to obviously.
Literally.
Literally, yeah. Again, no pun intended.
Well, we have a bunch of callers. We'll take one more call before the break. This is, I think it's John from Rochester. Is it John?
Yes, Peter.
How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Good morning.
Jim, let's say you have an apartment house in a blighted, an apartment house which is in good condition in a blighted urban area,
mm-hmm.
and you want fire insurance. Are you mandated to use replacement cost versus market value? I heard there's a rule that if it goes through litigation, called a broad evidence rule. Are you familiar with that at all?
Anything with legal jargon, I'm going to say, since I'm not a lawyer, I kind of stay away from. But I think what you're getting at, and I'll let you finish your question first if you had anything else. Was that the question?
Yeah, pretty much. Can a property owner insure the property based upon market value versus replacement costs in a blighted area?
So I think what I was alluding to before is that there's actual cash value costs versus replacement costs. So replacement cost is to 100%. Actual cash value is you're insuring up to a certain percentage, I think, in the kind of the short answer of that. The other thing I look at with your apartment complex is how many units are there? If it's usually under 4 or 5, it can be done on a personalized form. If it's anything more than that, more than 5, you're going to want to put it on a commercial form, which is usually called a BOP, a business owner's policy.
We're going to come back and talk more about these exciting topics of insurance, but we're getting to something here, and I want you to stay tuned. We'll be right back after these very important messages from our house to yours. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the allnewhuntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the low rate and closing cost guarantee. And I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. We have a remarkable operation there, and I would like you to take full advantage of it and look at those interesting and unique products that we can provide for you that nobody else can. I'm in the studio today with James Farah, the Chief Operating Officer of Hunt Insurance, and we've been talking about really some, and I think to some degree, some depth about what is generally speaking something that just is an afterthought in many people's minds when they buy a house. I guess I got to get insurance, goes through their head. So how do I do it? What's the easiest and cheapest way for me to do that? And, when John from Rochester asked an interesting question about, and he used the term fire insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my grandfather, that's the term he always used. So what happened? When did it become homeowners and not just fire insurance?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. There's a lot of old jargon that still general insurance is considered inland marine. And that term comes from, again, back to when ships were crossing the Atlantic and all that fun stuff. But there is a difference. So an HO or homeowner's policy is usually for your primary residence. If you have a tenant occupied, so let's say you own a house that you're renting out, that would fall under a dwelling or fire policy, which, again, different coverages because you're not occupying the premises, you're renting it out. There's other forms that are attached to it, obviously because you're making income from it that help offset anything if there's a fire or any sort of liability that or risks that are all too common with that type of property.
That begs the question of second homes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our listeners have a second home, a place in Ellicottville, Florida,
yep,
where the case might be, lake house or something. In that event, is that treated differently too?
Yeah, so it is. And I think
it's vacant.
Exactly. It's vacant. So they consider it, a seasonal property, and you can go down a rabbit hole of all these different types. But Florida is a perfect example. You're seeing a lot of that, probably increasingly more of people buying second homes elsewhere. What's important to know about that, and it's important to do and look review with your policy, is having it under one master policy, because there's a lot of coverages that transfer from your primary home to that seasonal home or however often. There's a frequency issue that changes things up. When we're talking about umbrella insurance, again, it's additional. Think of an umbrella over these two homes and your auto and all that. In the event something tragic happens and you blow through the liability coverages on those, that's where your umbrella comes into place. So we're usually writing those at an additional $1 million, $2 million, which for a year, you're probably going to pay $150 to $300 extra in total for that extra coverage. So when we're talking about some of these other homes, that also encompasses it. So again, going back to the importance of being an advisor, being able to tell people, that are not calling an 800 number, here's the way to kind of save money and also protect your holistic picture of your assets and all that. Something that calling an 800 number, they're not going to do. They're just going to set up another policy and not construct it the correct way.
Let's take a little bit of a leap here. One of the things that we have an issue with all the time in our industry, and every industry does, is when technology sometimes gets ahead of us. It happened in the last 10 years with the explosion of online data for all consumers relative to real estate. There's another kind of explosion of technology going on one of the major things that companies like yours insure, the automobile. It's going through a major transition, and my belief, based on what I've read, is that when battery technology is really perfected, which it isn't yet, and when the 5G thing comes in, that all of a sudden the whole world of cars is going to change, and it won't change overnight, but it will change gradually as the cars, the gas cars, kind of age out, and the electric car or some other form of powering a vehicle becomes commonplace. So how does an industry like yours anticipate the evolution of technology and how it affects the value of the product that you're insuring?
Right. No, it's a great question. And that's probably, if you can figure that out, you're a trillionaire, because I think a lot of insurance carriers are now scrambling. Just less people are owning vehicles. They're using car sharing or, you know, Uber. That's something that's changed the industry drastically, because the big question is, okay, you're using your personal vehicle, but when you have someone in it, you're really acting as a livery service. So there's always been that. I think they've filled the gaps, because a lot of insurance carriers, if you're an Uber driver and you brought someone in your car and something happened, insurance is saying, well, no, that's just an unknown passenger. You were doing this for a fee. You should have a business, commercial auto policy. They've bridged that gap, I think, between Uber now covering you and all that. But again, there's a lot of smart people, actuaries in particular, you got to really love math, that are trying to predict all of these new variables, independent variables that are coming into the picture. Automated driving, that's a big thing. You're going to start seeing that a lot more with commercial trucking first. I think you're already starting to see it. I think before the masses adopt buying all Teslas or all of that, that brings a whole nother variable in as far as, you know, can they let, maybe your insurance goes down because it's better than someone that's actually driving it. Another interesting article I read, Wall Street Journal, must have been, I think I want to say over the summer, and I'll send it to you, is they're now trying to figure out the liability on the, you know, companies. Ford is talking about the automated autonomous vehicles, Tesla. Who's responsible or who's liable for that? Does it come back to the personal side of your own auto, or does it go back to the company? And that's something that I'm talking with carriers, having read about, that might be the future of car insurance, is that that's baked into, let's say, your lease price, your finance price, because they're the ones that are going to have to cover if in the event anything happens, the more autonomous vehicles that we have out there. So a lot of interesting things, technology.
Well, you're going to be wrestling with that problem with me shortly as I have to review my lease on an electric car, which ought to be very interesting, because I was just thinking about that. I have no idea. And I don't know if there's anybody, well, perhaps I hope somebody does out there who's driving one of these vehicles, knows what happens when you click on that auto drive thing and it just...
I will say right now you're covered, but next couple of years it'll be interesting to see as more hit the road.
Well, I'll be very interested to see that too, because it's here in Western New York, we don't see a lot of the electric vehicles yet, but just because, I don't know, we're just kind of, that's the way we are here in Western New York. But when I go out to Arizona to our offices out there, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. There's two Tesla dealers in Scottsdale alone, which is, you know, a very interesting phenomenon, because they're all over the place. And they're as common as, you know, not, I wouldn't say probably any single automaker yet, but they're getting there. And as that happens, they've got to anticipate a whole new set of problems, which I just wonder if your industry, like ours, if we're not maybe a step or two behind and we need to jump ahead.
Yeah, what's interesting about a lot of these insurance carriers is that there are divisions that you don't even talk to or that are studying this stuff. You don't have to go that far from Buffalo. Pittsburgh is a testing ground for Uber with our autonomous vehicles. It has been the past 4 years, whether people know it or not. They've just been driving around the streets, collecting data and all that. So I think...
But there's... Out in Las Vegas, they're doing that too.
Yeah, they're doing it in a bunch of cities, kind of mapping it.
But there's a human being in the car.
There are in some cases, and there aren't in others. And I think the insurance carriers are working with some of these groups that are creating this, or they should be, to really understand this and develop a policy and protocol.
With your knowledge of technology, is 5G, will that allow this really to explode? I mean, because of the additional, layer of technology that'll be built into all systems?
I think, we're only talking about the iPhone was created, 07, 08?
Right.
I think it's just one of the many steps that you're going to see the explosion in technology. What you've seen, the leaps and bounds that you've seen now just with your smartphone, it's definitely the connectivity of the world. That's what, I think it's going to keep going.
Some of us want to disconnect.
I agree.
it's interesting. I was commenting to our group last week that as I looked at the airlines magazine on my most recent flight, there was in each of the almost every one of the ads for a resort or a new community or something, there was they used the word disconnect somewhere in their ad, saying that if you go with us, you can get away from all this. So I think there's a backlash out there someplace, and it's also connectivity is also very intrusive. It changes our lives. Anyway, we've got a few minutes left in the show here, Jimmy, and I don't want to get sidetracked into some philosophic discussion.
It's the next show's material. There you go.
There we go. Thinking about something. But it is important for us to reflect on how our industry is changing around us and what it means for the consumer and all these various directions. I don't want to go there right now. I want to remind our listeners and remind you also that our job here on our house is to help our listeners protect and enhance their investment in real estate. And that's really what the discussion of insurance is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to square one. How does someone really, in an educated fashion, begin this whole process? What's the first step?
I think the first step, and I was blind to this too. I didn't know anything about the independent agent model 10 years ago. I was one of the people that, I just have to go online, get something from Geico and all that. Until I owned my own business and realized all the intricacies in it, and that advisor for my business at the time said, hey, I'd love to take a look at your auto, and because now you're a business owner in your home. This was out in St. Louis, Missouri. I really started diving into, there's a lot of interesting stuff he dug up. So first and foremost, I would, if you're with one of those captive agents now, even if they're local or whatever, see who else is out there, mainly with that full service independent agency tagline, and pick up the phone, go on their website, drop an inquiry, and they're more than happy to explain all the different types of insurances without even selling you on a quote right away. I think people think if they call someone, they're going to just hound me about buying this policy. No, it's again, when you call us, we're going to give you advice first.
How would someone reach you?
So I think the easiest way is to go to the huntrealestate.com website, click on the Hunt Insurance link. You'll actually have a direct link to my email right now. Insurewithhunt.com will be our new website. Second week of January, we should have it up and we'll be debugging it. But or stop by one of our branches at one of our Hunt Real Estate branches and you can pick up some flyers or be introduced to one of our insurance producers.
Is there a phone number?
The phone number, the local one for Buffalo is 716-748-8906. That will take you right to our corporate office and they'll put you in touch with whoever is covering your territory. And we can put, if you go on the website, you'll see all the other regional phone numbers that we have that are direct to a local person.
In our last minute or so, any advice for our listeners beyond what you've already stated?
Any time, insurance is one of those things that you can change at any moment. Look through your policy. You definitely need someone to help you kind of read through it. It looks very difficult, but once someone explains it to you, you understand all the coverages, and you'll just be a little bit more educated to then go figure out who you want to work with.
James Frost, Chief Operating Officer of Hunt Insurance, thank you very much for being with us.
No, thank you very much. Go Bills.
Go Bills. I'd like to thank all our listeners for being with us again this week, and I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas if you choose to celebrate that, or Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is. That you do celebrate. This is a wonderful time of year, and it's really a time for anyone of any faith to really experience a wonderful period of joy with your family. And I wish you all the very best, and we'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.